In August 2010, there was a piece broadcast on National Public Radio asking the question, who is more generous, those who are rich or those who are poor? Now, at the time of the broadcast, Bill Gates and Warren Buffett had just convinced 40 billionaires to donate at least half of their fortunes to charity for a staggering sum of $125 billion. This act of philanthropy seemed to suggest that the wealthiest people are very generous. They give away impressive, unimaginable sums of money. That is what Paul Piff, a psychologist at the University of California, Berkeley, thought when he set out to study the question of who is more generous, the rich or the poor. He developed a study to see if his assumption that the rich were very generous was accurate. So for the study, Piff recruited a group of adults, asking them to complete a survey about their socioeconomic status. Then he brought the group into the lab and asked them to play a game. The game involved giving each of them 10 credits, which would equal the cash they would receive at the end of the experiment. He asked participants how many of their credits they wanted to give, if any, they wanted to give to someone that they'll never meet and someone who will never meet them, so complete anonymity. Piff found that people who ranked themselves as relatively high in their socioeconomic status were less inclined to give points away than were those who ranked lower. In fact, he found those who ranked themselves of lower socioeconomic status were willing to give away 44% more of their credits. Paul Piff explains this by saying, in his own words, "Across these experiments, the main variable that we find that consistently explains this differential pattern of giving and helping and generosity among the upper and lower class is feelings of sensitivity and care for the welfare of other people and, essentially, the emotion that we call compassion." So it's really compassionate feelings that exist among the lower class that seem to provoke these higher levels of altruism and generosity toward other people. Now, as I mentioned, this study was done in 2010. That's 8 years ago. So it's left me wondering, have things changed since then? Now, this is not scientific or exhaustive, but I did a quick Google search and found studies, even more contemporaneous studies, including published this year, that reinforce these findings. It seems that those with less are more willing to share what they have, even though the very rich sometimes make those large donations which grab headlines. In our gospel story, we have an account of donations being made, and it's not the large donations of the rich that are noticed, but instead it's the offering of a humble and poor widow. This passage is from the Holy Week section of Mark's Gospel, and it describes the final visit of Jesus to the temple. A few days after this visit, he will be killed. Mark tells us that Jesus and his disciples are sitting opposite the treasury, watching people repay the required temple tithe. Now, the use of sitting opposite seems deliberate by Mark, for Jesus is literally at odds with the temple officials. He has spent the week teaching the practices that he sees in the temple are at odds with God's will. Jesus is on the opposite side of the leaders, of those who are charged with leading the people in paths of holiness. In the first section of the passage, Jesus criticizes the scribes who like to walk around in long robes, who expect respect, who seek the best seats of honor. Jesus observes that they say long prayers for the sake of appearance alone while they devour widows' houses. Their piety is for show, and they exploit widows for their own benefit. Following this warning, Jesus and his disciples see a widow put two small copper coins in the treasury, two coins worth one penny. This is after the rich have given large sums. Seeing the widow, Jesus makes the observation, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury. For all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on. Jesus understands that rather than helping those who are poor, like this widow, the temple brings the poor to ruin through their tithes and taxation. The rich can afford to pay these, but the poor find them an extreme burden. So having to pay her tithe, the widow gives everything that she has. She has nothing left to live on. I can't help but wonder what happened to her. And we never know. We don't hear about her again. But did she die in destitution after giving away her last coins? How could she possibly go on with nothing left? There's a temptation sometimes in this passage to focus on the generosity of the widow, generalizing the piety and the generosity of the poor. And many commentaries through the years have done so, neglecting the strong critique that Jesus makes. But Mark makes clear there are two parts to this story. There's the sacrificial piety and generosity of the widow, and then there are the temple requirements which unjustly hurt the poor. Jesus reminds those listening of God's intention that those who have more are to give from their abundance to help those in need. In our first lesson from the first book of Kings, we hear of another widow, a widow who lives in Zarephath. Now, widows in the ancient world were among the most vulnerable of people. A woman without a father or a husband had little way to support herself. Widows often lived in desperate poverty. This seems to be true of this widow. She's gathering sticks to build a fire to bake her bread for the last time. She and her son will bake this bread and then eat their final meal, and they will die. God sends Elijah to the widow so that she may feed him. And I have to be honest that when I first hear that, I think that seems like a cruel irony. This woman has so little. How can she feed her son, herself, and Elijah? But there's a twist to the story. Elijah assures the widow that the jar of meal she has that is almost empty will not run out. There will be food enough until the rain comes. God's word comes to pass, and the woman has enough to eat. This passage reminds us that God does not desire the death of widows and their children from lack of food. This account shows God's compassion for those who are poor and in need. God's intention is reflected throughout Scripture in the call for those who have enough to care for those who are vulnerable, naming especially widows, orphans, and refugees. As it says in today's psalm, the Lord loves the righteous. The Lord cares for the stranger. He sustains the orphan and widow, but frustrates the way of the wicked. God desiring that the vulnerable have what they need is not simply an idealistic, empty hope. It's not empty words or meaningless sentiment. Rather, it is a call. It's a call for those who have enough to practice generosity. Those with abundance are called by God to give for the care of those who are in need, to give to those who do not have enough. And in doing so, God's will is accomplished. The lessons today remind us of the call as followers of Jesus, that call that we have everything we have because God has given it to us. Everything is a gift of God. That God creates everything that exists. There is nothing made without God. At the creation, God pronounces everything good and entrusts creation to the care of humanity, charging us to be faithful stewards. God loves us enough to give us what we need and then entrusts creation to our care. And from the bounty of creation, there is enough to provide for everyone. We are called to remember that God is the author of creation. And we're called to live with gratitude for all that we have been given. And in thanksgiving to God for what we have received, God calls us to live by generosity, to share from our bounty, that those who do not have enough may benefit from what we have. Giving in gratitude like this Giving in gratitude for what we have been given is ultimately an act of trust. It is a statement of belief that there is enough, that God will continue to provide. It's an assertion that giving from what we have, we will not experience scarcity. And in living generously, we are set free from the fear of running out, from the fear of holding what we have tightly. We're set free to give. And in return, the promise from God is that we will receive much. Living lives of generosity not only helps others, but it brings the generous giver joy. It's fitting that these scripture lessons fall on this Sunday, which is the beginning of our annual pledge campaign. This Sunday, we are asked to prayerfully consider how we will support this parish in 2019. How is God calling us to share our time, our talent, and our treasure? How are we being called to give from what we have been given in thanksgiving to God for all that God has given us? How will we financially support the parish in the coming year? For the past 6 years, you have been exceedingly generous in giving for the support of our corporate life. You generously share your time and talent, undertaking the various ministries of the Redeemer, both within the parish and in the community. You have very generously shared your financial resources with the parish. Since 2012, your pledging has increased from $50,000 to over $120,000. This is an incredible feat, and I am exceedingly grateful for your generosity. I am grateful for everything you give for the life of this parish. And so I invite you in the coming days to prayerfully ask how God is calling you to act in the coming year. How are you being led to respond in gratitude for all that God has given you? How are you being called to support this parish, sharing your time, your talent, as well as your treasure for the spread of God's reign? My hope and my prayer is that we always be people of thanksgiving, generously sharing everything we have. May we take to heart that great paradox, that mysterious paradox, that the promise is in losing our lives, in letting go and giving away, we find life abundant. May we live always seeking God's honor and glory, giving thanks to God for what we have been given, that we may come to share that abundant life of joy that God desires for every person. Amen.